Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me, as always, is no one. We are down one Shannon today due to a work emergency. So we are graced only with two very special guests. Special guest number one is Lynn Teasley. She has lived in Denver for 20 years, but will always have a hankering for toasted ravioli and... Is it Imo's or IMO's?
Imo's
Pizza.
Yes.
And is only just learning to tolerate the outdoors. How do you feel about that? What's your problem with the outdoors specifically?
It's hot, and there are bugs.
Oh.
And we
Don't let her fool you, because we just had an argument in the car like last weekend about like, oh my God, I love camping so much. You should go camping with Toby.
I did not say that, Toby.
Oh my God, you did say that.
I had a really good time.
No,
on
you
that
said, camping. No, you're going to love. Oh, you
would love camping with Toby. I didn't say I love camping.
You said you loved camping.
Plus, sorry. Monica got me lost on a hike.
No, you got me lost, bitch.
Well, hey, I'll just continue the bio then.
Yeah.
Lynn is a mother of two, mostly grown kids, a very large cat, and a cleaning business, and knows many useless facts that come in handy for trivia, which is where we have met at Geeks Who Drink Trivia at the Irish Snug. So, hi, Lynn. Welcome.
Hi,
thank you for being on the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
To Lynn's left, and I guess my both directions. It's complicated.
Yes. Directly in front.
And not even your left, your right.
My right.
Your stage left.
Yes.
God, this is terrible.
It's hard, right?
This is awful. Bad start, guys. Anyway, Monica Morris.
Yes.
She's Lynn's wildly inappropriate best friend. She's also been in Denver for over 20 years, but still yearns for the beaches and climes of her native California. Where in California?
Anaheim.
Okay.
Disneyland.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, nothing like that Orange County vibe.
Yes.
Where that massive fight happened.
Listen.
That was amazing.
It was beautiful. It's beautiful. Just go to the beach.
That's true.
You'll be fine.
Don't have to go to Disneyland.
No. They have peppers named after there, I hear. That's exciting. Monica is a mom of a very cute but very much an asshole Boston Terrier. What's that dog's name?
Her name is Saki.
Saki.
I have literally known Saki since the day Monica got her, and she still growls at me.
Nice.
Every time she sees me.
But she's like one of those like cute, like those hot girls who are bitches that like, oh my God, you're so cute. And everybody wants to touch her. And then she's a bitch and like, but you're still so cute.
Yeah, it works. Some people can carry it off.
She carries it off.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to be aloof and people will still want me.
Mm-hmm.
What a deal.
There you go.
When not sexually harassing her quizmaster, I assume you're talking about Dave.
Yes.
She is building her minion army, also known as being a kick-ass therapist.
Yes.
And she's also very single, so as Lizzo says, shoot your shot when you see her.
Yes, gentlemen.
Slide into those DMs.
slide into that DM.
So yeah, if you want to get in touch with Monica, just tweet at us. It's at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter or at A Vague Idea Podcast on Instagram. You can shoot us a little message and we can hook you up.
Hook it up.
This week, the show is about breakfast, and we've discussed that breakfast is a divisive topic because Lynn, you are
not a fan
of breakfast.
Mm-mm, no.
Which some people say, and I don't know, I don't have sources for this, but some people say it's the most important meal of the day.
Ooh, I would beg to differ. Dinner is much better.
You can't sleep without a good dinner.
Right.
You're gonna have crazy ass nightmares if you're hungry.
Right?
It's,
but
it's fair.
In the morning, you wake up, you don't need breakfast.
Yeah.
You don't need breakfast, but the fact is that not that you don't like breakfast, it's that you don't like breakfast foods. Yeah, exactly. That's weird. The fact that you don't eat breakfast, like billions of people don't eat breakfast. You don't like breakfast foods.
Yeah.
That's weird. You're weird.
So gross.
So since you're both special guests, you guys get to decide which of you is going to go first in picking a number from the topics list. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Monica, 1 through 10.
Eight.
Number eight. All right. We're going to play a mini game. This is called Is It or Ain't It? So I'm going to give you the names of three breakfast foods, and you're going to tell me if they're real or if they're fake.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. So number one for you, Monica, is huevos divorciados. Is that real or fake?
I'm going to say they're real. Like they eat them in like Mexico or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Very
What's
good.
In them?
It's eggs and stuff. I mean, you know.
I thought it was just eggs and what you eat after
eggs,
you get divorced.
It's probably eggs. Yeah. It's probably eggs separated and like crying children in the middle.
Yeah, I assume there are shards of glass and a torn photo of a broken marriage. You know,
yeah, exactly.
you're eating the ripped off husband from that family photo. Yeah. There's a little bit of frame in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two for you, Monica, is Billy cakes. Are Billy cakes a real breakfast food?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that's not correct.
Hoe cakes are real, though.
Hoe cakes.
Yeah. Yes. Johnny cakes are the ones that are real, that have a man's name.
I thought they were like some,
cakes.
Like, you know how British people take like normal foods and like rename them? I thought that like they just renamed Johnny cakes, which is cornbread.
Like chicken tikka masala?
Yes, exactly.
Things British people do. And number three for you in our Is It or Ain't It? Eggs and brains, is that a real breakfast food or not?
It was in my house, so I'm going to say yes, because my dad ate brains.
Right on. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Very
St.
interesting.
Louis, which had brains as the sandwich.
Huevos con sesos.
Mm, yuck.
Mm, gross.
Yeah. We agree on something.
Okay, Lynn, you get three also.
All
right. So number one for you
is
chimpanzee bread. Is that a real thing?
Mm, there's monkey bread, but is that specific? No.
Yeah, you're correct. I was making a play off of monkey bread. Well done. Number two is diamond shreddies. Is that a real breakfast food? Diamond shreddies?
Mm, is that a weird British food, do you think? Mm, I'm going to say it is a food.
It is. It's a cereal. It's one of those kind of off-brandy cereals. Instead of whatever, shredded.
Yeah.
Whatever. Shredded oat. Shredded wheat. Yeah. Diamond shreddies. Mm. And number three, tongue toast. Is tongue toast a real thing?
I'm going to go with, tongue is a real thing you can eat, but can you put it on toast? I'm going to go with, yes, it's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think tongue definitely just goes right on toast. No problem. I mean, it's gross.
Lays there.
You imagine it being a really gross thing to apply to toast, but tongue toast. Yes, very good. Great job.
The pinche lengua is delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, in the proper application.
Right.
Tasty.
But not just laying on.
But the idea of like, hey, just, you know, a slice of toasted Wonder Bread with a tongue on it. And you're like, yeah, good. Best part of waking up.
Oh, no. The breakfast that tastes you back.
Yeah. Hey.
Well,
right.
I mean, I was going to say that's another name for your vagina, like tongue toast. That's just wrong. You're gonna edit that
Can
out.
We make
but
those
that's
jokes?
Hilarious.
No, I'm gonna leave that in. I have crumb related questions to ask.
If there are crumbs, you're doing it wrong. You are doing it wrong.
Saying is toast. I don't know. Anyway. Great job, Lynn. You get 3 points. Monica, 2 points. And Lynn, it's your turn. 1 through 9.
4, please.
Number 4. Okay, we're gonna play Shannon's favorite game, but Shannon's not here.
Oh, sorry, Shannon.
This game is called Palm ou Pomme de Terre.
Ooh.
So each week on Palm ou Pomme de Terre, I present an object which is neither an apple. Pomme a français, nor a potato, pomme de terre a français, and you have to say which one of those two things it is.
Okay.
All right. This week, that object is a physical therapy squeeze ball. I believe it's the lightest setting, so it's getting that hand strength built up. But is that little purple squeezy ball, is that an apple or a potato?
Hmm. I mean, I'm going to go with pomme de terre because it's like a red potato.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. The color alone, that's perfect.
Color
alone,
size.
And it's round. It is. It's like a little. I don't know. Are they just called red potatoes? Do they have a fancier name?
No,
I'm sure they do.
It's just red potato. I swear.
What do you call purple potatoes?
A purple potato.
I think I'm getting tripped up on thinking of fingerling, which is. But that's not the same thing because the little red potatoes.
Right, they're but, just red potatoes. Yeah,
fingerlings
you
are
eat,
just
you
long
eat,
weird
you
potatoes.
You fingerling along with tongue toast.
There you go.
Yeah, just give me the whole body platter, but not the good parts. I want the ends. Yeah. I only want the ends.
Can you
burnt
them?
Ends?
All right, great. Monica, what do you think? Do you agree? Is it a potato or do you think it's an apple?
I mean, I think it's a potato. I think it's a pomme de terre because it has like, you know, it has more like texture than an apple would. I mean, you know, potatoes are kind of like textured. This is textured.
And it's squishy on the inside.
And it's squishy on the inside. That's what she said.
Yes.
And I'm gonna go with the pomme de terre.
Okay. Hey, great. You were both correct. 2 points each. Well done.
Uh-huh.
Well done. Uh-huh. All right. And Monica, we're back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 1 through 8.
5.
Number 5. Do you have a vague idea about John Harvey Kellogg's Battle Creek Sanitarium?
Yes, I do.
Great. Talk about it.
So John Kellogg, who is the inventor of cornflakes, he thought that women had too much sexual freedom, basically. And so he invented cornflakes to actually curb sexual desire in women. And so he would put them in like this, like he built a sanitarium for like loose women, you know, nice. To like, you know, I don't know what they were doing in there, but, and then he apparently would feed them like, cornflakes, as a way to like,
it's unsexy to eat cornflakes.
I mean, cornflakes are delicious.
I know, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
he believed that he believed bland foods would curb sexual desires.
Yeah, exactly. And so he, you know, and of course, in the long patriarchy of men, you know, controlling women's sexuality, he invented a sanitarium for women to go to you know, for loose women
and to eat his products.
So, I mean, I'm sure he would be so happy that everyone eats his breakfast cereals now and like nobody has sex.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody who's ever had Frosted Flakes has ever
it's good. Nobody ever fucks.
No.
I mean, Frosted Flakes are different. Like cornflakes, nobody's fucking on cornflakes.
No,
Frosted Flakes are fucking
sexy
like bunnies.
As fuck.
Yeah, they're fucking like bunnies. Yeah. I mean, it's a tiger, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, and Tony's in good shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Tony has never been like an average tiger.
Yeah. Oh no.
Like Tony's
he's
like the rock
been,
of the tigers.
Yeah.
He's like the rock
he's
of
always
tigers.
Been built.
Kind of like Smokey the Bear is the rock of the bears.
Yeah, exactly. Like Smokey the Bear, we went to
Pike's Peak
and there was this like billboard of like Smokey the Bear, and I was like, and he was like shirtless and like muscly, and I was like, Lynn, what is with Smokey the Bear?
Why he's is making he so me sexy.
He's making me uncomfortable.
That makes me uncomfortable now.
I know.
I was like, it's one thing when he's only wearing like cut off jean shorts.
No,
it's another thing when it's like, oh, now he's been doing sit ups.
He had abs. He was like rippled and like.
And why does he wear jeans but no shirt?
I mean, how else are you going to show up with those pecs?
True. Yeah. Very true. It's wrong, yes.
I mean, ask real questions, Lynn. Yeah.
I think the important thing is that only we can prevent this from happening again.
Exactly.
With cornflakes.
Exactly.
Great. Lynn, do you have anything to add about the Kellogg Sanitarium?
It's in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Yeah. Very good. Which is where all Kellogg's production is now, because I remember sending many a box top in to redeem a toy that was supposed to be in something. It's like, oh yeah, send in 5 proofs of purchase to this Battle Creek, Michigan address.
Did you ever get the toys?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was always like, I at one point collected, like, they had Disney Afternoon little figurines, like Darkwing Duck and stuff. So
oh
you get these
gosh.
Like little 2-inch tall plastic figurines of those that, yeah.
So it was like $10 worth of cereal to get a $2
movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Movie.
Maybe $20 worth of cereal.
And I admire his follow through.
I know, because I
like,
never
if it didn't come in the actual, you know, in the actual box, I mean, my siblings fought over it, and one of us got a black eye, then what the fucking point?
Hey,
In fairness, I was an only child, I had the benefit of boundless time and the ability to obsess over the collecting of objects. What I did.
Okay, makes sense.
fun fact, because you covered everything very well, Monica, but so Mr. Kellogg, who created cornflakes, he produced the cereal and marketed it as, quote, healthy, ready to eat, anti-masturbatory morning meal.
Yes. Was that in the ads?
Yeah, that was like the selling point. I'm sure it was because late 1800s, like almost everything sold in this country was sold as both like product/medicine.
Right.
Like Coke was. Yeah. Well, it's great for you because it's going to make your wife move faster because she's enjoying her day, right?
And she has cocaine to keep her peppy.
Yeah, I mean, in all
fairness, it would be very hard to masturbate with cornflakes. So
it's true.
It would scratchy.
So yeah,
I'm just saying.
No, and in fairness, so one of Kellogg's things was having people take baths in cornflakes and water, which was part of this thing, and it was both genders too. It wasn't just women, but he brought in, you know, wayward young men who also just, you know, had sexual desires of some kind. It was
they all had orgies.
I bet that was really super fun.
They didn't have to masturbate after that. They had each other.
So before the show, I was talking with some folks out here outside the studio, and they were talking about how there was an episode of Drunk History dedicated to the story. So if you guys check that out, because it has Owen and Luke Wilson in it, which is
nice.
Funny just for the appearance. Wow. And then there's also, I think, is this movie The Road to Wellville? Is that the one that's based on this?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Because the other thing Kellogg was way into was enemas, which, I mean, come on. Let's all get behind that, right?
This dude was a freak.
No. Oh, yeah. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he thought, hey, how am I going to make everybody fall in line? Well, the best way to cleanse the world of sin is to be a really weird asshole and use my money for badness.
Which is
a tradition that continues in this country today.
Exactly. Yes, very true.
The Koch brothers.
Yeah.
I was going to call them the Koch brothers.
Oh, man. I even wish that they had, like, intentions to make society better. I think they were just like, look, we can't make as much money unless we fuck people. And we can't fuck people unless we take away the don't fuck people rules.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll convince people that not fucking people is bad for them. And then we'll fuck everybody.
It's so crazy. It just might work.
Yeah. And it's
brilliant in its simplicity.
Great job. Monica, you're going to get a point. Yay. I'm going to give Lynn half a point.
A whole half? I mean, I did know Battle Creek.
You knew Battle Creek. That's I mean, hey, you called it. You called it. And we're back to you, Lynn. So one through seven.
Let's go with seven.
Number seven. All right. We're gonna play a new game called B&B. Ooh. All right. So in this game, you run a charming bed and breakfast, and I just want to know, what are you gonna call that bed and breakfast? What's it called? What's the name of your B&B?
I'm going to punt to Monica while I think about this because I am terrible with names.
All right. That's fine. You're both going to have an opportunity to do this anyway. So.
I know. I'm just
Well, can we talk about like what our B&B would have in it?
Yeah, you can build the whole thing out. Like live your B&B life.
Ooh. Let's see.
You can talk like, where is it? Is it in Vermont? Is it somewhere
Vermont's
in the
scary for black people?
That's fair. So, I mean, Vermont's scary for a lot of white people.
Yeah.
It would be in Wakanda.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of tourism now that they've opened it up to like the rest of society.
Oh, yeah. CSU students will be there all the time.
Right?
The article, the girl's response, her getting out ahead of that thing.
No.
And it's like, oh, well, we were just having a goofy time. And then someone decided like that this stupid. No, it's like that's not stupidity. That's what racism is. The thing is putting on facial masks is fine.
Right.
It's the moment that somebody goes, oh, we're in blackface and that's funny. So let's make a black joke. That's the racism.
There is a video that came out today because they interviewed her on the Collegian television. I watched about 5 minutes of that. And then I was like, this bitch is going to get punched in the throat.
Oh, man.
But, you know, she was just, oh, my God, we were just doing facial masks. And then it was just like, it was just fun. It was just a stressful couple weeks. And
did you read the letter? Because that child needs not only Jesus, who I don't believe in, but she does need Jesus, and a tutor to teach her how to spell. Because
she said that she was meeting with colored organizations on campus. I'm not. I shit you not. I will send the link.
So the Red Hat Society and
yes,
the people who liked Green Book. I think there are three of those.
The white hat
white
society.
Nationalists.
The white nationalist society. But yeah, she was saying that she's like, I'm going to meet with colored groups on campus. I will send you the link because I could not.
I don't know that I'll be able to watch it.
And here's the big thing. Because one, it's like, you can do anything you want. If you want to put on a dark colored facial mask and I'll take a picture of yourselves, do it. Be goofy. She talks about how it was an evening of fun where silliness turned into stupidity. It's like, no, silliness didn't turn into stupidity. Nobody stopped this from happening, which should have been like, you should have been like, no, we don't do that joke.
Right.
And even if we're doing that joke, why the fuck are you posting it on the internet? Doesn't anybody get how the internet works yet? If you put it out there, it exists forever.
Well, I mean, the caption, Wakanda forever.
I mean, I'm going to be honest.
The intentional misspelling of the word forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that like nothing white people does that's racist surprises me. So I'm actually like whatever these kids are like whatever. I'm more upset about the response from the president of CSU, and that's my alma mater.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the idea that it's like, oh, well, this is a free speech issue.
It's a free speech issue and they can do whatever they want. And I was like, listen, you know, what are you doing to make people of color feel comfortable and welcome in these like predominantly white institutions? And CSU is fucking white.
Wasn't one that where the Native American boys
last year?
They were on the campus tour and they got kicked off. Some Karen called the cops on her. That's the thing is like CSU. I mean, NCU Boulder for that matter. I mean, both have been predominantly white colleges mm-hmm. for a long time, and Colorado has been a predominantly white state with a lot of real fucked mm-hmm. up racist issues.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like how you defend it at this point. It's one thing to be like, hey, we don't need to crucify these kids for being stupid fucking idiots.
Right.
But at least call them stupid fucking idiots right. and say, look, we don't tolerate this bullshit. We're going to suspend them for 2 weeks.
Or put them whatever. On, put like, them on probation. Yeah, do something.
Or just because, let the black students hit them in the face. Like, just go by in a line.
Just like the black student union, just like smack them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just get in a line and just get smacked. Yeah. That would be fine. Yeah. And I actually, can we do that? No.
Yes.
You know, the thing that we're giving them a lot of, like, these, especially that little white girl with the blonde hair, and they're making her the spokesperson because she's, like, so blonde.
Plus, yeah, the instant that she disappears in Caribbean Vacation, we'll spend a year and a half covering that, too.
10 years trying
yeah.
to find
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Billions of dollars spent. Yes. I mean, what disgusts me is between her and, like, the kid that was at the Lincoln Memorial when that thing happened mm-hmm. with the Native American gentleman.
Yeah.
This sort of pattern of, like, well-off enough white kids getting mm-hmm. like press divisions and getting mm-hmm. out in front of things and being like, well, I have to have my opportunity to not have my life ruined. It's like, no, dumbass, just don't fucking post shit on the internet.
Don't be
what is
racist
wrong with you?
And nobody
like,
will have
yes,
a problem.
Yes, number one, don't be racist. But number one and a half, if you're gonna be if you're gonna be stupidly racist for a period of time, if you're gonna think like the one racist thing I'm ever gonna do is put on a facial mask and make a Black Panther joke,
right.
okay. ill-advised, but don't fucking post it on the internet. Like, you can do all you want, but just be smart enough.
Let it be revealed 30 years later when you're running for Congress.
Yes.
Like, normal people.
Or when you're the governor of...
Or when you're the governor of Virginia. Yeah. Like, let that shit happen naturally. You don't need to, like... You don't need to ruin your life at such a young age. You should have waited 30 years when you're, like, trying to, like, you know...
I mean, the thing is that it to me, and I'm, you know, I'm getting toward 40, but it like to me, it just the whole thing reeks of they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
And they're doing it because they want to press boundaries and they think they're being like edgy by doing this, ooh. Even though
mm-hmm.
like they know what's going to happen.
Just got hired and then fired in 40.
Yeah, the SNL guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, one of our common friends told me that's her stepfather's nephew.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, is he racist too? So,
yeah.
Oh, well,
I guess the whole family shares. This
So, I mean, I think you're right. In this day and age, you know, there are no excuses for this. So if you're posting these things on the internet, you're doing it to get attention. You're doing it
intention there. Like
there
you don't.
There is very
you
much
don't send that out without
there.
Knowing what's going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you not know that blackface is not okay?
No, blackface has never been okay, and they've always known it's never been okay. But they could get away with it before,
right,
and so now. True. You know, now people are coming up. So it was always racist and they always knew it was wrong. But they was like, haha, fuck you. We're white and we can do whatever we want. And now
mean black people are saying something.
Mean black people are saying something.
So. Yeah, it's just general rule for everybody is if you're going to treat anything of a racial note as an ironic joke opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you better fucking have been directly advised by people that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Someone should have said, hey, you know what would be great is if white people put on this stuff on your face and then did this
we brought our
white face masks.
Like
my blonde wig.
Oh, wait, we were talking about
white chicks before.
Sorry,
yeah. So hopefully that little diversion gave you guys both an opportunity to think of what your B&Bs are like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. So actually, my B&B would be like on the beach in California because I want to, you know, it'd probably be like in Malibu or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. With like, you know, nice like white wood floors, very very beachy themed.
Nice.
You know, lots of breakfast foods.
Just deck chairs as far as the eye can see.
Just deck chairs.
What are those, Adirondack chairs?
Yeah, deck chairs. And then, like, on the walls was just pictures of, like, all, like, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and, like, you know, Haile Selassie, just, like, random, like, and every room is going to be, like, named after some, like, major
the
black.
Malcolm X room.
The Ruby Bridges room. Like, I'm going to black
the
that shit up.
Room.
I've heard the Medgar Evers suite is very nice.
Yes, it is. It's very amazing.
It has an
like,
bathroom.
You know, mm-hmm. And every night, you know, we're going to like early once a week, we're going to have lectures on like black history.
Nice. So it's going to be.
It's going to be the blackity-est black.
I was
going
to say the bed and blackfest.
The bed and blackfest.
Is that what it's going to be called?
Look at that.
All right.
Or Blacktino. Cause I gotta be repping my mom's side of the family.
True.
So I gotta rep the Boricuas.
Yeah.
So you know we'll figure it out.
Well, shit, I gave her the name.
I know you gave up a good one.
You gave it up.
I know. I think I would go a whole different way. Mine would be like not in the woods because I'm just learning to appreciate the woods, but definitely it would be like a Victorian mansion. Probably a little creepy just because you can't have a Victorian mansion.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you definitely need to know that there are ghosts
like,
in there.
Be like super scary because
yeah.
you like Halloween shit. So
I
like,
do like Halloween.
Okay,
shit, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh yeah. But as for a name, I don't know. I'm going to take an L on this game because I am terrible with names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions, Monica, for a New Orleans based?
The Tease and Please, nice.
It's also a bordello.
In New Orleans, in the quarter, that would be.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, I feel like the teasing, please, is just
there.
Like,
you go.
There you go.
Yeah,
so
nice.
as long as you know the right knock,
exactly,
you're good. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not everybody. This is a regular B&B up front.
Yes. Yeah,
it is the mullet of B&Bs. There is a bed and breakfast in the front. And there's a party in the back.
In the back.
Oh my gosh! And I could have rooms that are modeled after like the House of the Rising Sun and Lady Marmalade,
mm-hmm.
and any other New Orleans themed bordello type of thing I could think of. But yeah. I can't right now.
You know, Lynn's college bedroom. So, like...
Great. Excellent work. You're both getting a point. I'm giving you each a point because you've collaborated. You've created two beautiful things together.
Oh,
and
this is how we do.
That's what the show's really about.
This is how we do it.
How we do it.
I can't harmonize well. I probably shouldn't have tried falsetto. Monica, we're back to you. 1 through 6.
Let's go with one.
Number one. Do you have a vague idea about breakfast television?
Oh, I don't. Like, is it like Saturday morning cartoons?
You're close. You're close.
Then no, I don't have
morning shows.
Morning shows.
Like morning shows.
Yeah.
Like
it's pretty much
like the Today Show and Good Morning America.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
I watch one occasionally after my Golden Girls spate when I'm getting ready in the morning. One will come on called Home and Family. It is the single cheesiest thing I have ever watched in my life. There's a lot of fake laughter.
I used to watch Good Day Colorado every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's really bad with Chris Parenti. And then
he used to be Kathy J.
Is it still even on the air anymore?
I don't know.
I haven't heard about. I don't like Kathy J anymore. But
I always felt like Chris Parenti was like a Seacrest to be.
Yes.
Like he was really working to get that gig.
He was
very like cool, but very try hard about the way he was doing it. Because I remember, I mean, I haven't really watched morning television in a long time, but I remember watching that and be like, this guy's way too chipper.
Yeah, I mean, like, now there's like
you're at a 12 and I need you at a 7.
Yeah,
you're at a 3.
There's so many morning shows nowadays. There's the third hour of like Good Morning America. Is that like with
it's not
Kathy
Lee
that's the
anymore.
Today Show.
Oh,
it's
that is
like,
the Today Show.
So it's Hoda Kotb and like is it Savannah Guthrie or something? No.
Yeah, because Kathy Lee stepped out.
She stepped out, and then there's like Michael Strahan, and then that other white girl, and then Kiki Palmer.
She's actually really good.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
That's what they said. Yeah. And, you know, and then there's regular Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos, who is married to Alexandra Wentworth, who used to be on In Living Color.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You pulled it in.
Great.
And then there's The View.
Oh, yeah. Well, and
Only worth it to watch.
Whatever Kelly Ripa's show is now.
Oh, Live with Kelly and Ryan. Because Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I could not remember.
He's the hardest working man in show business.
He's a busy boy.
He's got anything.
Like, he owns ABC. Fuck Disney. Pretty. Like, Ryan Seacrest owns ABC and Bravo, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no. We have a bit of a wine incident. Mm-mm. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Lynn, you all right? She's good.
It was a sparkly wine, and I apologize. That was really gross. I'm sorry, you guys.
No. Hey, the sparkle gets to all of us sometimes.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think that's the entire premise of the Twilight series, is that the sparkle gets to you eventually.
You know, I've never seen those.
Yeah, so
it's for the best. No one should read or see them.
Is that what you meant by breakfast television?
That is. Breakfast television is the way it's referred to in Australia, Ireland, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom, and we call them morning shows here in the United States and also in Canada.
So in the Commonwealth, they're all breakfast shows.
Yeah. So it's would you like to watch some breakfast television?
No, because I do not like breakfast. Thank you.
But I will eat some brains.
No, I don't go that far.
Brains and tongues.
Zombie apocalypse. You gotta get ready. You gotta get in shape for the zombie apocalypse.
It's true. You just gotta start. You just gotta start eating everything. Just eat whatever is available.
From the rooter to the tutor is what my mom used to say.
Ow, jeez.
There you go.
That is graphic.
Right. But it's true.
Monica, I'm going to give you 1 point. Lynn, half a point.
Okay.
And Lynn, we're back to you.
All right.
1 through 5?
Let's do 5.
Yeah, 1 through 5. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about 11Zs? 11Zs.
I'm thinking that is like brunch, second breakfast, you know, eating food in the middle of the, not afternoon, but in the middle of the morning.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is what it is. Very good, very good.
Made popular by the Hobbits.
Yes.
Oh, second
very
breakfast.
Good. Good, good yeah. reference. Yeah.
Second yeah. breakfast.
11 Z's is a short break that's taken around 11 a.m. to have a drink and a snack.
Nice.
I remember that being a thing that, at least in elementary school, we had a couple of kids who had diabetes. Whichever one
break.
Is the one that you just have. I can't remember.
Type 1 diabetes.
Yeah. So, so it'd be like, I got to have my snack now. And then, you know, when you're a kid, you're like envious because, well, I want a string cheese too.
Yeah.
I have to wait another hour?
Yeah. I can't wait that long. I am a crazy boy. Well,
but yeah, there are various regional variations on 11Zs. So in Australia and New Zealand, it's known as morning tea or smoko, and it occurs around 10:30. In Belgian Dutch, it's called tinturge. That's my best guess on pronunciation. Of a word spelled T-I-E-N-U-U-R-T-J-E.
I think... Oh, actually, that J is probably pronounced more like a Y.
Oh, Turia. Okay.
Tinturia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, good. Then, you know, there's that. In Chile, it's La Once, which we all know is Spanish for 11. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good.
I don't remember having La Once when I was in Chile.
You did it wrong.
I did do it wrong.
Yeah, I don't think I had. I went there in 2007 for a week and a half with a friend, and I don't remember that ever being a thing. I mean, but granted, we were always like leaving places we were staying to go do an activity, so we're probably away at 11.
Yeah.
So we didn't have the opportunity to kind of do a traditional sit down.
I feel like that's what we were doing.
Monica, do you have anything to add about?
No.
About 11Zs?
No.
Okay.
It's about the Hobbits.
All right, great. I'm going to give Monica half a point.
Woo-hoo.
And Lynn a whole point.
Yay.
I love points.
And Monica,
like
Monica, we're back to you.
Okay.
So 1 through 4.
Let's go with 3.
Number 3. Okay, it's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill, guys.
Ooh.
You're both going to get a chance at this, so think long and hard, pun intended, about it.
That's the name of your sex tape.
Yeah.
Wait, is this going to make me vomit in my mouth?
Probably.
No, I mean, it depends how you feel about cartoon animal mascots.
Okay. She loves them.
So your options for Fuck, Marry, Kill this mm-hmm. evening are Sonny the Cuckoo Bird, known for his love of Cocoa Puffs,
mm-hmm.
The Trix Rabbit, and Toucan Sam.
Ooh.
So who will you fuck, who will you marry, and who will you kill?
Okay. I'd probably kill the Cocoa Puffs dude, because this is why. He's a little, like, he's literally cuckoo. Like, he literally goes crazy. And so, like, I don't need somebody destroying my house every time I bring out some breakfast foods. So,
I don't think that Sunny the Cuckoo Bird is going to, like, honor safe words.
Yeah.
So exactly. Just to think about it.
Exactly.
Just to think about the situation. Like, he's going to go cuckoo, whatever. Yeah. And then it's like, wait, I'm saying
Cocoa.
Cantaloupe.
And I am Coco. So like, he sees me all the time. He'd be all like, Cocoa Puffs. Yeah. And then, you know, he'll call my vagina Cocoa Puffs. And that's not sexy.
No.
Wow. This went to a dark place.
That's what
wait,
she said.
Her killing him was not dark.
No. Murder is.
Yeah. Murder is fine.
We're.
Awesome. I'd probably fuck the Trix rabbit.
Okay.
Because I feel like it would be really quick and not satisfying.
But you would fuck him?
Because I don't want to fuck the cuckoo bird, the cocoa puff bird. Yeah, no, I don't want to fuck him. And then I would marry Toucan Sam because he seems like a gentleman. You know, he's like, follow your nose. And exactly. And it always knows. And he's, you know, and he's a very calming, very gentleman-like presence. And so I would marry Toucan Sam.
Well, I would think Toucan Sam also would be willing to, like, follow the money.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Well. Like, he'd be about following anything. Like, he's got follow through.
Yeah, plus, exactly.
The beak could have its advantages.
Yeah, the beak could.
You know. Depending.
You know how, you know, they say, like, you know, the size of a man's fingers or something like that?
The size of his nose.
The size of his nose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, Toucan Sam could have some stuff to work with. That's all I got to say.
And honestly, not for exactly the same reasons, but that is the order I would go into.
Yeah? Okay, tell us your reasons. Okay. What do you got? What do you got about?
Well, the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, dude, yeah, I mean, I am a black woman. I am therefore Cocoa. That's just a disaster waiting to happen. Mm-hmm.
He's also just, he's objectively fucking annoying as fuck. Like,
true.
It's the worst of the mascots.
Very.
I really should have brought the Sugar Smacks frog in, because that guy's pretty chill.
Well, he'd be slimy, though.
That's true. He would be very slimy.
Yeah, ooh, that would be gross. Mm-hmm. And then the Trix rabbit. I mean, not the quick fuck. I'm like, that's weird.
He's hyper as fucking, like, all he does is, like, you know, and he'd bring children into it, like.
Though if the fable about the tortoise and the hare is accurate, he'll fall asleep in the middle and then he'll finish late.
There you go.
Exactly.
I was just thinking he's the most anthropomorphically able to, because, I mean, a bird, that's just weird.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. The Trix rabbit is pretty much a human. Like,
right.
like a
just
weird
a giant...
spindly
I mean,
human
I'm,
with a rabbit
right.
head.
I mean, I'm really upset that, like, Tony the Tiger wasn't included
right?
in this.
I know. I really,
like,
should. Okay.
I would totally. Ooh, Captain Crunch.
Dude's a pirate.
All right. Let's modify. You guys both agree on that.
Yeah.
So let's modify. We're going to throw Tony the Tiger and Captain Crunch into this situation.
So mm-hmm. Who are we keeping from the original three?
Let's throw the whole three out. We're going to do Captain Crunch, Tony the Tiger, and Sugar Bear. You remember Sugar Bear?
Ooh, yeah.
So
the cereal
there.
Cereal was disgusting.
Let's make
but
it.
That
we'll
was
make it
a smooth motherfucker.
We'll make it an appealing group for the second round.
Oh. I think I'm gonna go with fuck Sugar Bear. Like, he's kind of the Barry White of the
Can't
cereal.
Can't get enough of my sugar.
Right?
Yeah. He's smooth. He's got a groove.
And then Captain Crunch. I'd marry. Well, no, wait. Yeah, I'd marry him because
he's got a boat.
He's got a boat. He's, like, traveling the seas. He won't be home too much, so I'll miss him.
But then he'll
bring me home stuff.
Then you have to kill Tony the Tiger.
Sorry, Tony.
Oh, you're so
you're
wrong.
Great.
No.
Not great.
I disagree with all of that.
Okay.
I would kill Captain Crunch.
Okay. Wow.
Why?
I mean,
just taking a stance on piracy
right now.
I'm
just, yes, exactly.
I believe in maritime law, goddammit.
Exactly. I would kill Captain Crunch because I'm not into short dudes.
True.
He is sub Napoleonic.
I'm totally like team. But I would fuck Sugar Bear for the exact same reason, because
right?
I feel like that dude would romance you out of your panties. Like, he's all
he
like those silky
off.
Panties. Yeah. Like, I don't know, and he'd sing to you, and he'd like sing to you, and he'd make it romantic. Like,
yeah.
Sugar Bear, like, oh
see?
Yeah, he would lay down the pipe. I'm just telling you right now.
I don't disagree.
I'm just saying.
Do not disagree.
And then I would marry Tony the Tiger because I just think that, like, that dude is, like, you know, he's tall. He's, like we said before, he's the Rock of, you know, breakfast mascots, breakfast cereals mascots. And, like, you know, I feel like we would get along. He's a little bit too much of a morning person, so I'd probably have to kick him out of the fucking bed. I'm like, go be great with the kids.
I mean, but like any cat, yeah, pretty much the same situation. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's gonna sit on your face in the morning and be like, God damn it,
yes,
I'll fine.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
That's what marriage is all about.
That's exactly what marriage is all about. So I would marry Tony the Tiger. I mean, I feel like, and again, being anthropomorphic, I mean, I feel like he is the, like, one of the, him he's and Sugar Bear, stuff. He's got the yeah. stuff. Like, but Sugar Bear would leave you crying. He'd, like, he'd be like, that's enough, baby. And then he'd just, like, he'd be like, come back. Yeah.
I gotta say, I think Sugar Bear is gonna lay the pipe is probably gonna be the episode title. But yeah, in Tony the Tiger's defense, like, he's had probably the longest running career out of anybody. Mm-hmm. Maybe Captain Crunch and him are tied, mm-hmm. but, like, right. you know, we've seen Tony the Tiger for years. Yeah. Like, he's always been working. I don't know. I don't know what happened to Sugar Bear.
Because you don't really see cereal commercials anymore.
It's true.
I think that there's a lot of regulations.
There's not really even Saturday night. There's Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah,
anymore,
there's a lot. I think there's a lot of regulations about, like, you know,
marketing
the kids.
But let's make guns readily available to everybody.
Yeah, no, guns are
here, baby. Have a gun.
Can I just tell you, like, literally the other night, Lynn loves my dad's stories. Literally the other night, and I can't remember what it's called, but my dad asked me, "Do you know what this thing is?" And I was like, "No, what is it?" He's like, "There is an entire, like, lifestyle dedicated to people who are in love with, like, animated, like, cartoons."
It's called
I can't remember what it's called.
Well, I know, like, that, like, waifu is the Japanese term for, like, if you had an animated character pillow that you lived with. And it's also,
like,
something
it's
that
called
I think
waifu.
The,
yeah.
Yeah,
and
the
my
James Franco's,
like, you know,
when did your dad learn about waifu?
I mean, he learned about it, and then because this, and this is true, like, the very first, my very first crush ever was Optimus Prime.
Mine was Speed Racer.
Mine was Optimus Prime because he had that voice, and he's all, and I was in love with Optimus Prime as a child, and it's mostly because of his voice. I'm a big voice person.
And she likes big trucks.
Yeah, and
and he's a natural leader.
Yeah,
right. And he sacrificed himself when it counted.
So yeah, and I was like, and we were just sitting. I hang out a lot with my parents, and we were just sitting out and hanging out, and my dad's like, do you know what waifu is? And I was like, you mean Wi-Fi? And he's like, no.
Do you need the Wi-Fi password, Dad? Is your phone not connecting,
like,
to the internet?
Yeah, he's like, he's not like waifu. And apparently he was reading about this. My dad is widely read on the internet.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a 30 Rock episode, I think, where Liz Lemon is dating a character played by James Franco, and James Franco's love interest is a human-sized pillow with an animated girl on it.
Yes.
And that's his, nice. Like... That's his love?
Girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, that's his waifu.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my first cartoony crush was probably Gadget from Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Yeah.
Oh, because she's awesome.
Oh, she was so smart and just cute little mouse girl.
The number one was Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, I could totally
Yeah, which
see
is
that.
Like...
But that's kind of obvious.
But
that's too obvious.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I like the Beatles. Like, big fucking deal. Good. Everybody does.
She hates the Beatles.
Well, everybody but Lynn.
I know.
I know.
I like the Stones.
Paul, Ringo, I know you're listening. Don't don't worry.
Don't get mad.
Lynn's not
You
Lynn's
can
not
still
hating.
Give me... Wait. Oh, yeah. Ringo is still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two of them.
They're doing an
two
album.
Are alive.
They're doing an album together of Lennon songs.
It's called The Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tolls are gone.
Oh, sorry. Next.
No. You guys are great. You're both getting 3 points for your answers for Fuck, Marry, Kill. That was excellent. Thank you very much. I believe we're back to Lynn.
Yes.
Okay, Lynn. 1, 2, or 3?
How about one?
Number one. Do you have a vague idea about breakfast at Tiffany's?
I do, as a matter of fact. So it's about a girl, a woman, named Holly Golightly in a story by Truman Capote, who I did not know until I was damn near 30 years old, is actually a prostitute.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was a surprise when I found that out. But it's not actually about Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's about her life and how she runs numbers for some gangster named Sally, I think. And she has a Japanese neighbor who is played by Andy Rooney. No, wait.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney. Yeah. Andy Rooney's
Andy Rooney would have been a far more disgruntled neighbor.
But that would have
been
really
been as racist.
Yeah. And so, and she has a cat.
It would have been, yeah.
Oh, I can't think of the cat's name, but she cries at the end because she lets him go in the rain. She runs to find, I think his name is Cat.
Yeah, I think so.
Cat, come back. And it was played by, or Holly Golightly was played by the lovely Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
And George Peppard, I believe, was her love interest.
The A-Team's George Peppard.
The A-Team's George Peppard, who was super hot.
I love it when a plan comes
God.
Together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
super hot.
George Peppard was like one of my favorite, just from watching the A-Team and then going back and seeing Breakfast at Tiffany's. God, this guy's so cool. Like, he's just like sort of, I don't know. He's got like an approachability combined with anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like weird in his real life because he just was too cool in his career life. Something had to be wrong. He had ugly feet.
Ooh,
probably.
Yeah.
Six toes.
Small dick. I mean, he had something.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just like the epitome of like cool and like that silver fox that's like, yes, he was such a silver fox in like the A-Team, and you're just like.
So I have a question about the A-Team.
Yes.
Why didn't they just knock BA out when they had to go on the plane? Like, just cut out the middleman. Don't even tell him where you're going. Give him sleeping stuff.
Because where's the comic relief then?
I mean,
yeah.
True, I mean, part of the fun of having friends is torturing them.
This is true.
So, like.
You heard it here
Monica's
first.
Yeah. Motto.
So, like, part of, yeah. So, it's nice to, like, you know, make them suffer a little bit and laugh at them.
True. Okay. That's
so,
fine.
Yeah.
So, I think I covered all of the. Oh, but she does go to Tiffany's because she likes to stand outside of the window, and she has a coffee and a croissant, maybe? I don't know.
She's living an aspirant life, right? Mm-hmm. Because her character is from Kentucky or something. Because she's previously married to a much older man, and she had run away to New York. And very, very good. Monica, do you have anything to add about Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No, so he moves in.
You forgot about the song by Deep Blue Something.
Yes.
I forgot about it.
No, very good. I was going to add that if nobody said it.
There's also that song, which is sung by Tal Bachman, who is the son of the Bachman-Turner Overdrive people.
And also the She's So High guy.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. So High Above Me.
Yeah. Yes. So, so George Peppard, I mean, that's like the epitome of like falling in love, like when she's leaving in the rain and like, you know, he's chasing after her and like she's got to get to the airport and he like finds her and he finds Kat and it's just like, ugh.
And then they hug in the rain
and then they hug
between them.
Then they hug in the rain with a cat in between them and like, you know, she didn't want him because he's not rich and she's, you know, she's a prostitute and he's like a poor writer and he's like working on his novel.
But now he has a story to tell.
But now, yeah, exactly. And so, and she would have like these like lavish parties and it would be, and he felt so out of place.
And she had a couch that was half a bathtub.
Yes.
That was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the party scenes in that film are pretty, I mean, considering the era too, where just you have these sort of, I mean, they're not really tracking shots, but you have these really big, like just so many extras in a room. And Audrey Hepburn's like pushing through slowly, but she also seems totally in control of everything at the same. It's really cool. It's an interesting thing.
Oh, and then Moon River was the theme song.
Moon River. Yeah,
it was. It was such a good movie.
Wow, who knew I knew so much about Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I want to see that again. I haven't seen it in forever.
Let's watch it later.
Although my favorite movie about a prostitute is Gigi.
Oh, also did not know that was about a prostitute.
Like her whole family are courtesans.
I know. Now I do, but I didn't know until, again, I was almost 30. I was like, what the hell is wrong with the French?
You and my dad and pony.
So, would either of you, in the situation where you're going to end a relationship,
be a prostitute?
Would, no.
Yeah. Just asking.
But.
I mean, if they want to pay me for it.
Would.
I'm not above it.
Would having shared the experience of seeing the film Breakfast at Tiffany's be enough to keep you from separating, a la the song? Because the song is really just pleading with like, hey, I know you want to break up with me, but we both remembered this movie.
Right.
And then we think we kind of liked it. So maybe that's enough. Is Breakfast at Tiffany's enough? Is Breakfast at Tiffany's enough to build a long-term relationship off of?
Ugh. I mean, I enjoy the movie, but I don't think that's enough to keep me around.
I mean, I feel like at this point you're just like grasping at straws. Like
right.
You
remember
want like
we saw Breakfast at
I want to break up with you, and you're like, yeah, we have nothing in common. But we like Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I'm like. Yeah, I love bacon, and that's still not enough for me to like stay with you.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
right,
like
yeah.
One. It's like one thing that like it's literally like one thing that we have in common.
Yeah,
and yeah, no. I'm not a big fan of like having tons of things in common with your partner. Like you know, because
you don't have to do everything.
You don't have to do everything together. Like camping, you don't have to do everything together.
Or hiking
and getting lost, but I think you have. I think you have to have like Breakfast at Tiffany's is not a foundational belief or a foundational like you know part of our relationship.
Although, what if he said that and gave you a Tiffany ring?
I mean, I would appreciate it, but I don't like diamonds.
Sure. They have other stones.
Like what?
I mean, the Paloma Picasso line has all kinds of stones.
What? I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about because I have no idea about jewelry.
Well,
she's working at a jewelry store. I have no idea about
Breakfast
jewelry.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, the song in the movie, would not be enough to keep me, but throwing a 3-carat diamond, we'll talk about it.
All right. So somebody's like, hey, we like this movie and I bought it. I bought jewelry from the store in the movie and in the song that I wrote you.
Well,
here you go.
Again.
Yeah, okay.
Yet another way that Lynn is like Holly Golightly because she's like prostituting herself for some Tiffany's. I mean, it's well, fuck
that's
a diamond.
A, yeah.
I mean, you know how many black people probably had to die for your diamond?
They only cut off one of their hands, though. They have the other one.
To work the mind.
I'm pretty sure one of those hands gets
diamond.
Put on toast for breakfast. Yeah.
All right.
Hand on toast is a delicious breakfast delicacy. I just wanted to discuss the sad desperation of that song.
It's
a catchy song, but it's also like
it's really
wow,
it's like you're like you're
and in fairness, like I definitely had, you know, early like high school, early college relationships where I felt that level of desperation.
Yeah.
Like, we both enjoyed blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but that doesn't matter.
I mean.
Because you get older and you realize, like, I've liked a lot of shit over the last, like, over the last almost 40 years. Like, I've liked a lot of things. And a lot of them I stopped liking after 3 or 4 years. It's not going to be enough. Like,
desperation is not an attractive quality.
Also true.
Thirst. You know, the thirst is real. Mm-hmm. And thirst if you're literally grasping at straws at this point. So, no. Mm-mm.
Agreed.
It's not.
Well, great.
Sorry, Tal Bachman.
Great job. You guys both get a point and a half.
Yay. You
and I'm going to add in sound effects in post.
Yes, but
there will be noises. I know. I've been thinking about like adding a little board so I can go. Bing.
Nice. Make sure.
I don't do negative sounds because I don't like that.
No. Oh,
plus, nobody wants to hear. Like that's no. That's
what's
not
the
cool.
One from the game show? Never mind.
You don't ever watch television.
Woo!
I do watch television. I just don't have a television.
No, but it's like at King Supers, the sound when you run your card and it just goes you're always like, oh my, oh shit, do I have money in my account? And then at Safeway, it's just like ding ding.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's just like, it's a pretty.
This
like,
is why I shop at Safeway.
The other thing I hate about King Supers is whenever you use the self checkout, like inevitably for me, the voice is turned up so loud. I'm like, I know how to do this. Stop talking to me like a fucking child. I can
condoms,
do it.
$15.99.
Right. And then it's like, please put your item in the bagging area. I'm like, I did. I don't know. There's one person working these 17 of these things. I am waiting for as long as I can.
I feel so sorry for that one person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
no, it's
the
miserable.
Who needs the help, too. I'm like, I need to avoid.
Oh, I mean,
you know how you avoid that? Go to the checkout.
Yes, I do.
Which
now.
Is what I do. Oh,
see,
but like the majority of the time.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. No, going through traditional checkout is a lot of fun still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the robots are going to kill us all. So
exactly.
It's we just have to rely on these on this handful of robot
to my
wranglers.
Computers in my iPhone so that they won't kill me.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Monica, we're back to you, I think.
Yes.
One or two?
Let's go with two.
Number two. Okay, we're going to play another game. It's called Band Jam.
Oh.
So you have a brunch-themed band.
Ooh. Okay.
And it's releasing its first LP. What are you going to title the record?
Ooh, a breakfast-themed band jam?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your album called?
Bacon and Jam.
Nice.
Bacon and Jam. All right. I like that.
I would have gone with toast and jam, but that's way better.
I mean, I like bacon more than I like toast. So bacon and jam.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm into
it. It's my jam band.
All right.
Yeah. I hate jam bands.
Yeah, well, you don't have to have a jam band. You can have any kind of band you want.
It's just to be a breakfast.
Yeah, it's just got to have a breakfast or brunch theme. And yeah, I mean, you could be metal. You can whatever, right? Like, oh, you could be, I mean, Shredded Wheat would be a great metal band name.
Oh, now see, you took the good one.
Well, I've got more.
I mean, I still think Tease and Please would actually work good for a band as well.
I'm going to go with a hip-hop band, all ladies, called Breakfast With My Bitches.
Nice.
Ooh.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
It's appointment music.
There you go.
Like every Sunday, exactly. Breakfast with my bitches is going
breakfast,
on.
Breakfast with my
I
bitches.
I like that. Very good. All right. I'm going to give you a point each for that.
Nice
job on Band Jam. And Lynn, you've got the last topic.
Should I go with one?
Yeah. I mean, you could also pick
a hard choice.
Whatever the last number is.
I'll go with that.
You're going to go with the very last number that exists.
Yes.
We are going with a hypothetical final number.
Sweet.
All right. Do you have a vague idea about Frankenberry Stool? Frankenberry Stool.
I'm pretty certain it's the cereal that is made after Frankenberry takes a shit.
you're really close, and I like that you went there.
I think it's more that after you eat Frankenberry, some people have reported their stool looks different colors. Like it's colored like a pinky color, or like it. Yeah, it comes. So that, yeah,
when
like,
my
it's
oldest
just weird.
One turned two, we did a Teletubbies party.
Oh yeah,
and the cake was it was a Teletubbies themed cake. It had rainbows and all Teletubbies, and every single
the gay
parent.
One?
Huh?
The gay one?
Yes, even the gay one.
No, no, no. Was it the gay one that was on the or all the Teletubbies?
All of them were on there. Oh, okay. Yeah, they were the little.
Was Tinky Winky the gay one?
Yes.
Because purple and had the triangle.
Yes, yeah. Purple
and
triangle
and a purse.
Little bag. Yeah. Tinky mm-hmm. Winky's bag. So we had the party, and every parent called me later. It was probably called because it was way back in the early, it was in 2000.
Oh, yeah, no, you weren't texting people back then.
Yeah, oh, no.
You actually wanted to speak to people in person, or
right.
at least briefly over the phone.
Like literally, like in the early 2000s, like I would like be on the phone for like hours and be like, I love talking to people. Yeah. And now when the phone rings, I throw it across the room. Yeah. Like,
no,
calling me. No, you text me, bitch.
Which is so weird, right? Because I did the same thing. Like throughout high school and college, like I had hour-long conversations with friends on the phone.
Hour-long. I'd be on the phone
and,
for like
But you had
hour.
To wait until after 9 when the rates went.
Yeah.
Well, after I mean, 7.
Yeah, because you had to get into the nights and weekends portion of your plan.
Exactly.
But now it's just like, oh, why is somebody calling me at 7 o'clock? Don't they know it's like, I'm eating dinner and I'm going to get high soon and I don't want to talk to anybody.
And you're like looking and you're like, who the fuck? You should text before you call. Like, you should warn somebody that you're going to do this shit. This is ridiculous.
What's weird is that it's like, it's this real double-edged sword because some people will text you things that they totally should have called you about because it's like, that's 7 texts and I have to make 6 decisions and answer you with an essay.
Right.
I don't want that. But then there's also people who call you and they're like, hey, are we still getting together tomorrow? It's like, you could have just texted that.
Yeah,
that would have been
fine. I hate like that literally like text back and forth that could have been like 20 texts, could have been like a 5-minute conversation. Those are awful.
I will cop to the only person I really talk to on the phone is Monica.
Yes.
And it's because when we're driving, we're being safe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And mostly bitching about people and their driving abilities.
Well, and you know, hey, anything to keep you from road raging. Exactly. And as long as you're being hands-free with it,
I always start my conversations with like,
I know it's going to be good when this
just
happens.
I'm just like, okay, so I'm going to...
So anyway, the parents came back with, my kid's shit was colored pink and green and blue. So
yeah.
Yes,
I feel like
Teletubbies.
Yeah. That's yeah. So I think Frankenberry stool is the same thing. It changes your color, the color of your poop.
I'm going to go with it is the cereal produced by Frankenberry.
When he just shits. Literally. Yes.
Like little, he
the
shits.
The Frankenberry
he
brand.
Shits, he shits little pellets.
He needs to drink more water.
He needs to drink more water, but he eats a lot of fiber.
Well,
yes.
he
eats those shredded wheats.
He's a Frankenstein monster, so he's been, he has deer parts, and that's why he poops little pellets.
That, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes, oh, right? See, that makes the most sense.
I mean, deer and
anus,
rabbits, maybe.
His ass is actually a deer. It's an actual
yeah, he's got a Franken ass. Yeah. He's got a Franken anus.
Yeah.
Franken colon.
Exactly. That makes complete sense.
I think the next great American novel is right there. Franken colon. It's about a...
I make cereal.
It's about an entirely normal person, except when they poop, everybody's like, you're a monster. They're like, no, I just want to be among you.
And Lynn, and like literally Lynn loves poop.
Yeah.
No, I am not.
No, she's not. She's not like
a,
that.
You're not a fecophiliac.
I'm not a scat, but yeah, no.
But this is a testament to the closeness of our relationship. Is that we will text each other about our poops.
Oh, and I mean,
Monica
part
never
of
wants to see a picture.
I never want to see a picture.
So weird.
When discussing this with my wife, when I put the list together, if you get like Swiss cake rolls,
yeah.
You know those. when you do Swiss cake rolls, you end up having like blue/green poop.
Yeah.
Afterwards, because there's food coloring in there and it's non-digestible, so yeah. You just get like weird ass looking stuff.
God.
And yes, you were correct. So Frankenberry stool was during the early '80s when they brought out all the monster themed cereals.
Yes.
Your Chocolas, your Frankenberries, your Booberries, etc.
Blueberry.
Yep.
There were a couple other ones that I can't remember what they were.
I was totally Count Chocula.
Of course you were.
but yeah, they used a non-digestible dye. So
yes.
There was this like temporary scare where parents were calling like the poison control about kids having pink poop.
Yes.
And being like, oh, what's going on? And it's like, yeah, it's Frankenberry's.
It's cool.
Frankenberry's,
yes.
People.
It's, yes. A known thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is a known thing. I mean, we were never like, we were so poor, so we didn't get like the regular like Frankenberry. Yeah. So I'm.
What color was your shit if you had the off-brand Frankenberry?
It was rainbow. It was unicorn shit.
Because
it's like whatever. It's not even the malto meal. Like that's not even like it's not even the store. I mean, it was like, yeah, that was too fancy. Like we went look at the bargain basement like store, nice. Brand. You know.
Did you guys have Aldi?
No. Mm-mm.
So when I was a kid, we had Aldi in St. Louis, and people mm-hmm. would make fun of the kids who shopped at Aldi. And now a bunch of the kids who used to make fun of those of us who did shop at Aldi are now.
Everybody loves
my
Aldi.
God, Aldi is so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, all.
Poor
so weird.
Know all the best,
yeah.
Stuff.
No, we had Ralph's. That's in California. Ralph's.
Well, yeah. I mean, and in fairness, like a lot of budget grocery stores tend to just have,
yeah.
Like. Food you should eat,
right.
And not the shit in the middle that you shouldn't eat,
yeah.
At all.
Right?
Like when a store gets big, it just ends up filling up with garbage, yeah. That you're probably not supposed to eat because it's all non-digestible.
Yeah, like the
or whatever.
Bargain, like right. The bargain basement grocery store in California right now is Stater Brothers.
Oh,
mm.
That sounds fancy. What's the one in Portland? I can't think of the name of it, but it's
fancy.
Oh, it is not fancy at all. It's awesome. It's like a huge warehouse where,
yeah.
Everything is in boxes.
Oh God, no! It's awesome. It's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's just Amazon grocery. if you can fight off a robot, you can have whatever you want.
If you can fight off this rabid Wolverine, yeah. You can
two
have.
Men enter, one man leaves.
Oh, we should have played Thunderdome this week.
Yeah.
We play Thunderdome some weeks, so we didn't do it this week.
Next time.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we're invited back after our whole
Yeah, no,
thing
no. I
after our like incredible tangents.
Our waifu
no,
thing.
This has been excellent. I sincerely hope that both of you will come back because I think if we if we have an opportunity to have Shannon here as well, there's going to be an interplay that is so vivid that some people will have to wear sunglasses.
I can't wait to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with her.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just really glad because like I was feeling really a lot of pressure by Lynn, who finagled this whole
and said Monica had to come along.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Monica had to come along.
That is exactly how I remember it from 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
in trivia.
Yeah,
was this
like,
was like,
we
hey,
should be on on your
show. You should
come
on the podcast. So they're like, yeah, let's do it. And then you were very against it.
I wasn't very against it. I was just kind of like, he does not want us on it. And Linda's all like, no, he will want us on it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely do. And what I wanted to add this, because you guys have both shared a Twitter, what is it, like a tweet spill about just listening to people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's basically about, if you're white and you want to know like how to do things without putting anybody in an undue position to tell you what to do, just listen to people of color. And what I will say, because I've thought, and you know, you guys, whatever you guys think here,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I thought about commenting multiple times, like that's what I've been trying to do, is just like, just listen, just read what people are saying.
Right.
And just, and don't worry about like, and honestly, like I'm probably, I don't know, I'm a pretty chill person. Like most information that hits me, I'm like, okay, cool. Right. I get that. That makes sense that someone would feel that mm-hmm. way at the end.
Right.
Unless they're Nazis. Yeah.
I think that
what you shared was super cool. And I think that's what everybody needs to do. It bottom line comes down to just try listening for once.
Right. Yeah.
Try shutting the fuck up. And I know I'm talking right now, so I realize, and I keep cutting you off.
No, you're just like completely mansplaining and whitesplaining everything. This is amazing. Thanks, Nate.
That's all we have to say about that.
That's all we have to say.
No,
I interrupt a lot. So go ahead. I want you to finish.
But I just think it's super cool. I mean, it's a really basic message. It's like, look, if you want to know, if you want to get it, just try paying attention to what people who aren't you feel
mm-hmm.
without reacting to it. And it's that basic. It's that old mm-hmm. adage of like, are you listening to comprehend, or are you listening to respond?
Yeah.
And too many people listen to respond. Yeah.
You have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? It's like,
well, now I have to throw an adage out there. You have one finger.
One finger? Is that like a penis
Uh-oh.
Finger?
Like
a penis finger?
No. One finger that points out, but three are pointing back at you. Something. I don't know.
Do you know how many fingers does Lynn have on her hand?
A lot.
No, I think, being Lynn and I have been here like forever. And honestly, when I first started hanging out with Lynn, I think the majority of my friend group were white. And I think
I turned her militant.
No, okay. I was always militant. But I think now the majority of my friend group is people of color. And that's really hard to find here. And not to say that's all of it, but that's really hard to find here in Colorado. I went to school, CSU, like any school I went to anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I was literally like the only like black person in a space, or the only person of color in a space. And, you know, people constantly like looking to you and like, you know, saying, OK, we know this about black people. And then they would like stare at you.
Tell us all about black people.
No, this is like, I'm a social worker, and so I'm a therapist. And so recently, like in like the last year, I was actually in a meeting with like other like therapists and with other like, you know, social workers. And you would think that in that space they would be a little bit woke, but they're not. So they're talking about a client, and literally the psychiatrist, you know, it was a black child who was being raised by white parents. And he mentioned something about like, you know, has anybody asked him like what he feels about being, you know, raised by, you know, white lesbian couple. And they looked at me and they're like, Monica, someday you should tell us all about what it's like to be black in Denver.
Someday?
No, because not right now, because we're in a meeting.
Well, sure. but it also seems like the meeting would be directly informed by understanding that very thing,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And literally you could just see like light bulbs like lighting behind their eyes. Like it's like literally something that they had never thought of. And
working.
You know, this is in a room full of like, you know, mental health professionals professionals that you think that like should be woke. And so Lynn and I talk about this a lot, and you know, I'm not I'm in a position now where I'm old. I'm old and I'm tired.
She's not that old.
I'm old. I'm old and I'm tired. And so when people come to me and they ask me about like black issues and they just, you know, a lot of times they just want you to tell them something. And I'm not going to tell you anything. I mean, we have Google.
Right.
You know, we live in an age. But
there's,
you know,
I mean, you can go read the 1619 Project in New York.
Which is amazing. Like,
that's fantastic. Which is
that's a way to find out a lot of
and
stuff.
And the podcast.
The podcast is amazing.
Yeah. But if you do say to me, and I don't think that, many white people take the time to do this. If you do say, hey, Monica, I was reading this article. I was reading the 1619 Project, and there's some things in it that I didn't really understand, but can we sit down and can we have a conversation about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you like all day about something like that, because I know that you're interested and I know that you did the work, and you don't want to just say like, well, I have a black friend who told me this.
Right.
You know,
How I stopped people from telling me, educate me, tell me everything I need to know. I told them I'm fine with that, but it's going to be $45 an hour. And
that's probably cheap too.
Oh, that's cheap, but any amount of is like,
oh,
they literally, the first person I did that to was like, why would I pay you for that? I was like, that is my time.
Who is the person that tells you to like just Venmo them money?
Oh, is it Kinfolk Collective?
Yeah, yes. Just like Venmo me money. Just just because, you know, to assuage your white guilt, just Venmo me money.
That's, yeah.
So I mean, brilliant. I'm not
opposed to that. I remember
seeing
that. No, I think that, yeah. Because it was like a kind of reparations gag sort of thing, right? Yeah. It was like, no, don't worry about that. Just send me money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fun when people like, you know, when I'm posting. I didn't really post a lot of like very militant, like,
until
you know,
me.
Until like very militant black things until recently, because I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I am like so over it. And I'm so over like, you know, censoring myself, because I think that in people of color, we're constantly aware of like where we are and, you know, and constantly where are the words that are coming out of our mouths. And
because
so,
we don't speak just for ourselves.
Oh,
we
yeah.
speak for.
Well, if the promise of freedom, I'm throwing air quotes up for the listener. If the promise of freedom in this country exists, then you guys should say whatever you fucking please. Mm-hmm. And it should not be confronted with people like saying
but,
like,
much
oh,
like
well,
the white girls
you know,
at CSU, I should be able to use badly worded and spelled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares? I mean, the point.
I tell people. I've had friends like who've been like who've come to me and like, Monica, you know, when you say white people or white people, I say white people. She goes, you know that you're talking about me. And I'm like, I'm not talking about you. But if you're feeling some type of way about it, I need for you to examine why you're feeling so offended by it.
The condensed, what the W-Y.
White people?
Yeah.
W-Y-P-I-P-O. Yeah.
The phrase that's used on the root a lot.
Yeah.
Which, yes. Yeah. And yeah. I love that actually, because I think I read, what's his name?
Michael
Harriet's thing. He kind of explained what it meant. And it made perfect sense to me. It was like, oh, well, yeah. If you have a problem with this, well, you're probably one of the people that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the thing is, if you can't just like, we're in a weird time of denial and lack of curiosity with a lot
which
of things,
is insane
and it's
because
and
we
it's
have
problematic.
So much information.
Oh yeah,
that is
yeah.
out there. Like, you don't have to atone for the sins of your ancestors, but for shit's sake, don't pretend like it didn't happen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't pretend it didn't happen, and certainly don't pretend like it's still not happening.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like,
and, yeah.
There's nothing. Yeah.
And I think that like the hard part for like a lot of people is, you know, that they think that racism is like calling somebody the N-word.
Right.
And saying, oh, well, I don't ever say that. And I'm like, you're not, but you need, and I don't have any privilege, but you need to acknowledge that you're benefiting from a system that is designed to keep people in their place. And that means keeping people of color marginalized and keeping, mm-hmm. you know, white people and white culture
elevated, as
elevated and as the standard, as the gold standard.
Right. Things like shutting down thousands of polling places over the last couple of years.
Yes.
Right. That is racism.
Yeah.
Shutting
voter
down
ID laws.
So people can't get ideas.
Yeah.
And
these things
vote.
Are racism. I mean, and
yes.
yeah, I mean, the it's, yeah, I...
Yes.
The thing is like if people, because I'm, you know, I'm the white male in the room at the moment.
The filling to our Oreo.
If you guys can, oh yeah. but I mean, I think if people can get that, hey, look, you don't like nothing about being curious and considerate harms you. Like
yes.
there's nothing dangerous here.
Because it's the way you ask.
Well,
a question.
Sure, you can ask questions, and certainly, like, everybody has some prejudices. Like, everybody
has
some prejudice. Yeah, totally anti-breakfast. But yeah,
breakfastist.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing is, like, we just have to start really being conscious of the ways that the system mm-hmm. is designed, because the system is set up to hold. To hold groups of people down, like, I mean, it really is.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. and the I thing have that to I say, one of the first, well, not
oh,
the
yeah,
first
no,
time
ahead.
We ever talked, but one of the first times after we became friends on Facebook, I don't know how we got onto the subject, but it was when the Facebook thing, like, everybody discovered what Facebook thought they were or who they thought they were.
Oh yeah,
and like mine said, I was an early 30s white man, which I find hilarious. Because mostly it's cat pictures, fart jokes, and black power. So I was like, I don't know how they get that. But you were like, they think I'm a 32-year-old black woman. And I was
like,
he is meant to be my friend.
No, I that was when everybody was checking their things. They thought I was African American, mostly because I post like I post a lot of like anti-systemic stuff. Like I get it. I see, and that doesn't make me special because I'm not moving the ball myself individually by getting it. But at least like. Like,
but
more
you
people
recognize
should get it.
It and
oh yeah, no, it is. It is crazy fucked up, and but it's yeah. not. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I call it the.
I yeah.
Yeah, when I work with when I because you know I'm a family therapist, and so a lot of times parents will come in and just be like, "My kid is broken. Here, you fix it. You
oh my
fix
gosh.
Them." Basically, is what they're saying. Like, I don't know why this kid. So I call it the "I broke it, you fix it" kind of thing. And I feel like that's a lot of what white culture is right now. Like, mm-hmm. we broke it, but we expect people of color to fix it.
You guys have to do.
You guys
about
have
this.
To do something about
right.
this. Like, I like we broke well, it. We created it, and we broke it.
In the American economic sense,
yes.
I mean, I think everybody expects you guys to start businesses that will fix this problem.
Yeah, yes. exactly.
Like they think, okay, well, innovate and capitalistically fix this.
Yeah,
with capital you don't have.
I mean, really all it takes is that social workers need to go into the homes and like listen, and kids need to listen to record players.
You gotta start listening.
And you gotta hear more words.
You gotta raise
words.
We gotta start raising kids properly, and then
yeah.
there will be problems.
Yes.
Thanks, Joe Biden.
Hey, thanks, yes. Joe Biden.
That's a great place to
wrap it up.
We'll wrap up. So great news. You guys have both scored 13 points.
Ooh.
And I didn't even do that on purpose. So you have tied for the win.
Nice.
So what I will ask is Monica, is there anything that you would like to plug for the listener? Is there anything you want them to pay attention to or look at or whatever?
So Lynn and I, we started and we have our Instagram.
Yes.
So and we're working on a podcast because I mean, face it, we're adorable and funny.
Hell yes.
So if you go to Instagram,
yes.
We are smart.ass. ASS Negresses.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we're slowly building our following. So if you want to follow us at that, and we'll keep you updated as we develop our podcasts.
Perfect.
Right on. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And Lynn, anything you want to plug?
I have nothing to plug, but drink water, take your meds, take care of yourself.
And always wear sunscreen.
And always bet on black.
Always bet on black. There you go.
Well, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Oh,
thank you. Thank
us.
You for having us.
I will definitely have you back if you want to come back.
Yay!
Like 1,000,000% you are coming back. So.
Awesome.
I hope
you're
on board.
Our smart-ass Negresses thing.
Yeah.
Can you be a token white guy?
Can we?
I'll come on.
Oh.
And I would come on your show
for sure. So one of our...
If you would have me.
Yes.
And as long as I will not be a terrible human,
Can I make a request that Dave be here?
Oh yeah, we can. I can try to get Dave too.
Wait,
we can try to do a five-way.
Sexually harassing.
Well,
he's
I know, but you know, we'll talk to Dave.
He's fine with it.
I've got waivers. It's fine.
Okay.
We'll sort it out. So
own,
yeah,
Dave.
Thank you guys for being on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, listeners, for listening. You know, the only way that we kind of advertise the show is by word of mouth. So if you like what you're listening to, if you like the show, please spread the word. Let other people know. If you like us, you want to check out the social media, you can go to the Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast. You can go to the Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod. And, you know, you can check out other shit I do. I make T-shirts, Shirt by Nate at threadless.com, and a couple other things that are silly. But otherwise, you know, live your life. Try not to make the world worse. Okay. Bye-bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, You should check out my podcast with Sean Grolkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.